100% sell-through guarantee. Sounds good, doesn't it? What does it mean? Simply...
RDI Diamonds, New York. This is Scott. Can I help you?
Hey, Scott. Glenn.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Same old, same old.
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
Customer looking for an oval, elongated oval, 20, 30. Do you have anything?
Let's take a look. You got a color and clarity you want to be within?
Well, I'd like maybe G, SI1.
All right.
GI, no fluorescence.
Let's see what we got. When do you need it for, and what kind of a budget are we talking?
As cheap as possible.
All right. Now you're talking elongated. Are you talking, you know, super elongated, like 1.5 to 1, or are you looking for even more than that?
No, I'm looking for maybe carat 20, carat 30. I don't want a long, thin one.
Right.
But, you know, not your traditional.
Right. Not your 1.3 to 1 like we would sell for years. So there's one out on Memo that's coming back. I mean, I'm going to throw the measurements at you. It's 8.7 by 6.02. So it's a 145 to 1.
145 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, is that close, you think, to where you want to be, and can you spend $5,000?
Ugh. Man, no. His budget, I mean, I ain't going to make a dime if I, no. I can't,
okay,
I can't
no.
go by.
No, we're talking. So let me see something here. So GSI1, you think you can do $3,500?
Oh, $3,500 is very doable. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, now, if it's going to be elongated, that 1.5, 1.6, you know, to 1 ratio.
Yeah.
Could I go a little bit smaller in carat weight? Give you an idea. There's one sitting here. Let me just make sure. There's two, actually, that I like. First one is a 101 GVS2 GIA.
He wants something bigger than that.
Well... And here's the deal. The measurements measure like a 120. It's 8.3 by 5.2, so it's a 158 to 1 ratio. It's the length you're looking for, and it's not skinny.
Is it a shallow stone?
No. 8.3 by 5.2 by 3.39. The depth is 64. The table's 57. For an oval, it's kind of where you want to be. I mean, you don't want to be too thin in the 50s.
Right.
You know, I've got a longer 1 carat that's 8.3 by 5.5. That's a 152 to 1. I mean, that one's 59 depth, 59 table, and that's kind of thin. It gives that thin appearance when it's, you know, you turn it sideways. Flat is the word I would use.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like this 101. Let me do this. I mean, if we can find a... My bigger issue is maybe we got to go SI2 to get you into a 120.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I've got a 120 here. It's an SI2. It's a GIA. And it's got carbon spots in it. I mean, it's visible with the naked eye. And I showed that to her. People got a divorce. I sold the stone, got it from you. But she likes that size. But she just don't want to see any black inclusions in it, whether it's, a cloud or whatever.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put a pin in that 1 carat because I really do like the size on it. I know it's not the weight you want.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put in here that we're looking for something 115 to 130. You spread it out a little bit. I'm going to put H plus SI1 plus in here.
Yeah.
Just because H will still be white and SI1 should eliminate any of the sputs that you don't love.
Right.
And I'm going to put 3,500 in his budget. And I'm going to tell them we're looking for something, you know, 1.45 to 1.
I mean,
HTML.
I can go 4. You can, why don't you put 4 in there, Scott?
All right, I'm going to put 35, and they'll go to 4.
Okay.
They always
well,
go
you know
a little bit over.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'll manipulate it on my end to get us where we need to go. Let me just do this real quick, and then let me look at something while we're still on the phone.
Okay.
And see if I can't.
I'm going to have security bring him on. This is not working right now. It was no paper in it, so I'm waiting for this to print. And then
long, but not shallow.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got going on here. And then I just want to tweak the search I just did to see if I messed something up there. I get where you're coming from. We're in a weird spot. You know, if it was around, I'd have a dozen of them.
Oh, I know.
But these fancies are... All right. Okay. Well, the, you know, that ain't going to help me. It's still a 101. And if we're just talking carat weight, I've got a 120 IVS1 GIA. I think it's a little bit elongated, 8.3 by 5.9, 63 depth, 60 tables, so it's not thin. Excellent. None. I mean, it's white. It's super clean. It's relatively elongated.
Yeah.
And it's 3780. I think we can start with that one, and then I need to find, you know, I just did the diamond queue, so hopefully Renee or Des, whoever's working up there today, can get me closer to where we need to be.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to jump on this because I saw it the other day, and I know you did too. I forget the name of the company that owns the Jareds and the Caves and all that. Now they're closed in like 2,600 stores around the country.
Yeah. Well, when you own Blue Nile and another online company, I think you start looking at your asset and what you have out and what it's costing you. And you
absolutely.
You know what's killing those jewelers, right? Those chain stores? It's two words.
What? Yeah, killing them.
Because they can't triple and quadruple key them anymore because the internet says you can't do that.
That's right.
You know, the internet is finally catching up with itself.
That's right. Yeah, and I knew it would one day, you know.
I think we
all. But, you know, they're just, they mentioned that they, you know, the lab-grown market is killing their business because they, you know, they've got overhead out the wazoo and they can't build their profit margins in it because of you know, the internet. So, that'll be interesting. So, but, okay, we'll see what you can do.
You know me, I'm going to try and work the magic. I'll get one of the girls upstairs helping me, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. The girl called me. I don't know what her name is. She told me, but invited me to the little deal y'all are having.
Oh, Barbara. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she said, well, you can come in October. And I said, well, in October I'm going to be in Hawaii.
Nice.
You know, yeah.
Well, if everything lines up for me, I'll be in Spain in July. Where are you going in Hawaii?
We're going to Molokai and Maui.
Oh, we wanted to do Maui. We did the Big Island. We did Kauai the first time around, and we stayed in Waikiki, and it was fun. Try and get off the beaten path a little bit if you can. You know,
yes.
We were told, don't fall into the tourist traps. And let me tell you something. The tourist traps were the best part of that trip. You know, the evening dinner cruises. We went and did some snorkeling. There was an underground or underwater submarine tour that you could take. And, you know, they're like, oh, it's just planted ships and statues and stuff. And I've kicked myself that we didn't do it. I let somebody talk us out of it.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, you are a tourist. Go do the tourist thing. But if you can get off the beaten path, you know,
yeah.
I ended up, I don't know, I guess all my years of bartending, I'm a bigger tipper than I probably should be. Well, the guys that are parking your cars, the valets, you know, I'm tipping them $5, $8, $10 a trip because we had rented a car. And one had been there almost every morning we were there for 10 days. And you know, you get talking after two or three days. And while they don't really like tourists, you're greasing their palm and you're being nice and they see you as a human.
Sure.
You know, he told us about a place called Cockroach Cove. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. But we ended up doing it, and it was absolutely beautiful. The one thing he did say to us is, you know, go do the blowhole that's there. Go into the cove. He goes, there is a beach next door that's a local beach. Stay away from it. And I just kind of looked at him. He goes, not all my brothers and sisters like mainlanders. And if you're going to a place where, you know, that's they consider theirs, it's not a tourist attraction, they get
right.
a little prickly. I'm like, done. So we went.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Cockroach Cove turned out to be, it was a really cool cove with a little beach. And then there was a lookout area that, you know, you could watch the blowhole, which is basically just a hole in the rock where the waves come in and shoots up the, through the hole, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
being the guy that I am, it was right next to the cove, so we just climbed up it, and here we got people taking pictures of it while I'm standing in it. Somewhere on my phone, I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. I'm standing there with my arms raised in a V with the blowhole going off in front of me, and it was the coolest thing.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, oh, buddy, Hawaii, I would love to go back. I'd love to take my kids now that they're, you know, teenagers.
They don't care nothing about that.
Oh, I don't know. My son, my daughter is the beach goer, and she is all about that. And my son likes to
yeah.
adventure. So, you know,
find
out where the swap, find out where they have the big swap meet on Kauai. On the Big Island, it was at the stadium where they used to do the Pro Bowl, NFL Pro Bowl every year.
Right, right.
They don't do it there anymore, but the whole parking lot, huge parking lot of that stadium was a swap meet. And I'm like, all right, what's a swap meet? Well, you can get all the I don't want to say tourist stuff, but they had these little wooden surfboards that were probably 18 inches, 2 feet, that they would carve your name in, you know, while you're sitting there. My wife got to drink coconut water right out of a coconut. You know, they hacked it up and handed it to her. We bought some trinkets,
huh.
and the touristy stuff was a third of what you could buy it for in the shops. And it was just, you know, my buddy Cameron lived there. Cameron that works here lived there for 4 or 5 years. So we had kind of the inside track. But,
huh.
You know, my wife is a big Iron Chef person. She used to watch the show religiously, and Morimoto has a restaurant there. It was great, but we were hungry when we left, and it was a very expensive meal. So, you know, it was one of those things where the next night I'm like, well, they had a revolving restaurant, 25-story building with a revolving restaurant right in Waikiki, called the Top of Waikiki, and I'm like, we're going. It was half the price of Morimoto's, three times the food, and it was excellent. Yeah.
Nice.
So don't let people tell you not to do the tourist traps. Some of it is amazing. I wish we would have went to the Dole Pineapple Factory.
Yeah, now we are scheduled for that.
Good, good.
There's a bunch of stuff. So you're saying on the Big Island, where they have the swap meet?
Yep, Kauai.
Kauai, okay. I think that's where we're going. I'm not sure.
Well, Maui is the next island over, and typically you can take either a puddle jumper plane or a boat over, relatively inexpensive. We were there for a wedding, which consumed 3 of the 10 days, and I spent some time with Cameron before. So it was, you know, I definitely – they'll tell you, it's tourist trap, don't do this, don't do that. That's what you're there for, you know?
Yeah. Right, right.
We went to a place called Makapu Tide Pools. Found it on the internet, And it was a trail. It was a long trail. We walked it. It was beautiful. I got pictures of my wife sitting in these pools that come with the tide, you know, and chasing these tiny little crabs away. We hiked Diamond Head, which is a old volcanic crater right in Waikiki. It's right next to the Honolulu Zoo. You know, we were there, and unfortunately, all of the naval stuff was closed for repair, so we didn't get to go there. I wanted to. You know, every day I carry my dad and my grandfather's dog tags in my front left pocket. It's something I've done since I was about 9.
That's true.
And, you know, I wanted to see. We had a cousin that was on the USS Sullivan, which got sunk there. You know, so there's a plaque with his name on it, and it's the USS Juno. The Sullivan is the ship they named after him because there was 5 brothers that died on that ship.
Oh, God.
That's when the military changed the rules that, you know, you can't have 2 family members overseas at the same time, brothers.
Right, right.
After World War II, so. But, yeah, it was, I don't know, man, hiking to waterfalls in the middle of nowhere. We were Honey Ho's. You know who Don Ho is? You remember Don Ho?
Oh, yeah.
Sing and play the ukulele. His mom has a restaurant that's at the Coalino Golf Course, and that's North Shore. And that's where Cameron got married. It was beautiful. Not only was it beautiful, we're out on the first hole of where he got married, and I'm standing up there next to him, and I see my wife's eyes light up, and she's pointing behind me, mid-ceremony. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I just turned my head slightly enough to look back, and about 100 feet from us, there was 2 wild hogs eating grass on the second green.
Oh, my God.
And the mountain range that's behind it is where they shot Jurassic Park. But
oh, really?
Just driving to the North Shore with the crappy rental we got, the scenery driving there, because not only is the beaches and beautiful, but there's mountains, and there's so many different things and lookout points that you can go to and see things that aren't always in the touristy stuff. It's crazy.
Right. Well, I think we're trying to plan a trip. I mean, we're trying to plan this thing. Anyway, I may go Axis deer hunting. Anyway, I've been reading up on it and everything. So we're trying to coordinate that to where I can at least get one day to where I maybe harvest an Axis deer and bring some venison home, you know. So,
buddy, the other thing I didn't do that my wife begged me to go do, I wanted to go tuna fishing. It was an $800 for 8 hours with 4 people.
Right.
Cameron couldn't. His buddy was there, Chad, but Chad owns 4 boats and a charter in Key West, so it wasn't a big deal for him. And my wife gets seasick. You know, we were lucky on
the
big catamaran we went on to scuba dive. The captain was feeding her ginger pills. So if anybody in your family gets seasick or motion sickness, grab a bottle of ginger pills. They're cheap. You can get them just about anywhere. Boom. He had her drinking Blue Hawaiians on this ship, let her drive this giant catamaran, and then we went and did the snorkeling, and it was neat. They give you a pool noodle. And it holds you up, and you just put your face in the water with the snorkel. And, bud, it was like you're looking, you know, you're treading water, and you're looking at the land, which is just green and lush and beautiful. You put your face down with that face mask, and you're looking down into the ocean. And it was like somebody switched a black and white TV to color, and the colors of the coral and the fish were just so crazy. One of the guides that was on the boat was from Australia, and he was a diver. And, you know, the kid dives off, couldn't have been more than 21, 22 years old, dives off, and he's going to the bottom, pulling up different things to show us. And there had to be a sea turtle that was huge, just swimming by. So he's pointing it. We got to see that on the way out. I must have saw 1,000 dolphins, you know, and as
damn.
We parked, there were schools of dolphins on both sides of the boat that went by. And the captain's like, you know, I try and come here because it's a dolphin sanctuary. He goes, and that keeps the sharks and stuff away. So I don't have, not that they're going to attack you or bite you, he goes, but, you know, nobody gets nervous. And with all these dolphins around, I'm like, holy cow. You know, like I said, the Sunset Cruise, we were told it was a waste of money. It's the same buffet you get in every restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
And it was. But being able to go up to the third floor and just circle the island and see everything that we had done from the water.
Right.
And the dolphins and the fish and the things that you've seen. And then they had the second floor was the lounge and the first floor was the dining hall. And it was just, it got a little cool because they were, you know, you're on a boat moving. So we go inside
right.
the lounge and we just watching out was amazing. I never seen so many dolphins in my entire life. I never seen, it was just, I don't know how to explain it. Like I said, we climbed Diamond Head, the old burnt out, what do you call it? I'm losing my mind over here. Volcano. And
yeah.
it was cool to climb. But when you see it from this boat, mind-blowing. It leaves from the same area where the memorial is. So we did get to view the memorial from the boat. It was 100 yards away, but it was, you know, so that was kind of cool. And they said, you know, it isn't worth, I think we paid $75 each. It was $150. And like, oh, the meal isn't worth it. No, the meal was okay. It was fine, but it wasn't what we were there for. It was the ambiance. And watching the sunset from the water in Hawaii, I don't know, bud.
Sounds like you just want to go back.
I would go back. It's just, I'm just happy you're going. I can't, I'll live this trip through you because I guarantee you and your wife are just going to be, you know, every morning we stayed at the Aston in Waikiki. It was beautiful. And they have a homeless issue. I mean, you know, 75 is the lowest temperature you're going to see there. And so there's a bigger homeless issue, and the Hawaiian natives have a tendency, you know, there's some issues there, right? Nobody ever bothered us. But I would go every morning. I'd get up 6 o'clock because you're 6 hours time difference. And my wife would sleep in a little bit. I'd go down and grab a coffee and just sit outside. Hotel had a beautiful, I don't want to say porch, but like a sitting area. And there was
yeah.
a guy that would pull up on his motorcycle, on his scooter, and he would pluck flowers from the trees right there and string them. So every morning, I mean, not every, probably 7 out of 10, I would come back to the room with coffee for her and a fresh lei that the guy literally just strung. You know, and yeah, they died within a day or two. She tried to bring, I had one that was from the wedding party, that were leaves that were wound that we brought home. And, you know, I wanted to dry it and it fell apart on me. But,
yeah,
you know, it was, and it was, here I am. And you know, my wife's like, well, aren't you encouraging this homeless guy? I'm like, yeah, we're feeding him money. Don't worry about it. It's $7-$8 a day, you know. And I'm that guy, he'd ask for $5 for these beautiful days, and I'd hand him a 10 spot and walk away, you know. But it was just beautiful. You're going to have such a good time. Oh,
well, I appreciate that.
Can't
and
wait.
I'll,
but I'll let you
I'll
get back to work.
Nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I rambled on too much.
No, that's fine. You're good. You're good.
Beautiful, exciting trip. I can't wait for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, just let me know what you find out, and we'll go from there.
I'll get you something. You know me.
I know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, brother. Talk to you.
All right.